Welcome to another edition of What Comes Naturally. This is part two of my epic trip to the Yorkshire Dales, and my plan today is to take you over into Cumbria. Now, I have to fess up now, it's been so windy that I've had to delete quite a lot of the recording I've done today, and so I'm going to give you a bit of a commentary afterwards. So some bits are going to sound as though they're recorded on a different day, which they were, but we're going to use as much of today's actual recording as we can. Yesterday I said that I might dig up a pig nut for you and see what it tastes like, and the opportunity's here right now, so let's go for it. The couple in the next tent are cooking breakfast, and I can smell sausages, and it just smells delicious, and it's made me feel really hungry. So I thought I might demonstrate a pig nut and try one out. I haven't had one since I was a kid. There's one growing right by my tent, so I'm just going to get my penknife. And it's this little, it looks like a little carrot plant. I cut round the outside with my knife, like Monty Don here. Pull the whole plug out. And of course, I've cut right through the nut. So now it's in two pieces. Just rub the dirt off. I've got a bit of dirt. It's kind of earthy. It's a bit, that's quite a good after flavour. Actually, it's a bit like carrot, which it's related to. So I'd say it was more like carrot than like a nut. But it's very refreshing, delicious. I'm not going to go dig them all up because it's a real shame, but I'm going to enjoy the other half of this one. I offered the young couple in the tent next door a taste of my pig nut. They weren't at all impressed, and I don't think they were going to taste it at all. I was quite embarrassed, actually. After the pig nut experience, I set off up past Thwaite, up past Angrim, up past Keld, up onto the Bare Moorland, right up to the Cumbrian border. It's quite a narrow road over Bare Moorland with very few walls, grouse shooting area mostly, and it climbs right up to the watershed. The rivers behind me flow back down to the east coast through York, through the River Ouse. The rivers flowing ahead of me flow into the Solway Firth by Carlisle. So that's the Eden and the Lune. Right at the watershed, you're at a very, very high point with the Yorkshire Dales behind you, and then ahead of you, this big Cumbrian vale with rolling hills surrounded by steep, dark fells. It's really dramatic landscape. You can see almost all the way to Scotland from here, and you can certainly see to the Lake District. So it's really quite a fantastic place to stop. So I had a stop, and I thought I would photograph a skylark while I was at it, because they were right where I pulled off the road at the county boundary. It's a place I've seen peregrine before, but this time I was stalking the skylark, and two things happened. The first was that a very smashing looking butterfly or moth fluttered past me in the heather. I've seen them before, so I know what it was. It's a kind of silk moth, a British silk moth. How about that? It's an emperor moth. You have a real job to catch one on the ground. I've never managed to photograph one, actually. Have seen them at Paxton Pits, so I think they occur in heather, moorland, and disperse even in the south of England. Fantastic looking thing. Anyway, just after that, I just came up the ridge where the skylark was sitting on the ridge, and I wanted to get him on eye level. And as I just climbed up the ridge, this short-eared owl came over the ridge right over my head, only maybe 20 feet above me, looked me straight in the eye and panicked. It sort of folded up and veered away from me, almost rolled over as it tried to make a tight turn. And I got a few photographs just as it went away. Short-eared owls have been persecuted quite a lot in the past, and I suspect they still are. And I just wonder if it's significant that this one was on the county boundary between estates. In fact, on the Cumbrian side, there isn't that much grouse shooting going on, whereas in the Yorkshire side, this is big business. My main reason for coming into Cumbria is to go and look for red squirrels and to go plant hunting as well. I could go to look for red squirrels in Wensleydale. They've got a nice introduction scheme there that's been done by the Wildlife Trust at a place called Snaesholm. You can go to the old railway station in Hawes, and they'll take you up to this Nature Reserve by minibus, and that's supposed to be the place to go. But I rather fancy somewhere all to myself, and it's somewhere where I've seen red squirrels before. So we're going to head for Pendragon Castle, which is an amazing little spot. Not very many people know about it. If I was going to make a film about King Arthur, that would be the location. But let's just take a look at the view and take in what we've got here. This big glaciated valley, interestingly to me, is glaciated the wrong way. The glacier went up the valley. And then throughout the valley, there were these long eskers of glacial debris and these lumps of rocks, really, that are left behind. And you can tell which way the glacier goes because it's got a head and a tail. Now, this one's been modified. It's got a moat and it's been made round, and a lot of the stones have been taken to build the castle. And as I say, if just for the setting, it would make a great movie. These threatening, dark, wall-less, open hills looming over us, quite black, actually, up near the top, coming down through the sedge of the moorland, and then some greener fields in the lower ground, but not the little enclosures that you get in the dales. There's quite a lot of wildlife around the castle. I've seen redstarts here before, and there's jackdaws nesting in the castle. There's actually sheep in the castle as well. It's quite a fright when you go into one of these corners and suddenly there's a sheep runs out at you. And also the area around it seems to be a haven for wildlife. There's lots of bird life, and I found a couple of nests while I was poking around. I'm not usually very good at finding birds' nests, but I've just found two in a couple of minutes. There's a pair of coal tits nesting right in the bottom of the rice stone wall near the gate at the entrance to Pendragon Castle. And then on the edge of the moat, there's a hawthorn bush that doesn't look like it's doing very well. And so the leaves aren't on it yet. And I watched a chaffinch go in there, and then I can see the nest with all the lining and the chicks being fed. All without disturbing it, I can see it from here. I'm not going to attempt to take a photograph or I'll frighten them off. Do you know what? I'm going to go and look off the bridge and let's have a gawp at the River Eden and see if we can see a squirrel at the same time. So I'm standing on the bridge, looking down into this lovely pool that must be visited by otters. It's just perfect. But what I can see is some very nice trout. And there's one just sipping flies off the surface right below me now. It's quite hard to see the trout, but you can see their shadows. The sun's quite bright. These rivers are really fed by the trees along the bank. There's not an awful lot of insect life under the stones. There is some, but a lot of the food for the fish falls off the trees that line the banks. So it's very important that these trees are here. And these are wild brown trout, not stock fish from some farm. The salmon come up the Eden, but only as far as Kirby Stephen. They don't come as far as this. Just trout. There are probably some bullheads in there and some stone loach. There might even be some crayfish in there. This would be the proper British wild one if we're lucky. Do you know, I'd love to get a net and have a look for those. Just across the Eden Bridge, there's a cottage and a garden and a lovely little wildlife sanctuary just along the river on one side. And there's limited access. There's a nice footpath through it. The last time we saw a red squirrel here, it was actually running up the road and into the garden of the house up the hill. There's a garden with a few conifers, which seems to attract them. Quite a few conifers, actually. And some big beech trees and some hazel, so all the sorts of things they need. So that's where I'm rather expecting to see my squirrel. But, actually, I've just seen one run across the field to the river, right out in the open. I thought it was a cat. Quite orange. And the tails in this particular group of squirrels seem to be always really blonde. So you see this big blonde tail wagging about. You can't miss them, really. Some reports of red squirrels in areas where they don't occur are of stoats, because stoats will sometimes climb trees. But once you've seen one properly, there's no doubt about it. It's red squirrels. I've totally lost sight of that squirrel now. It's gone along the riverbank somewhere, and the land over there is private, so I can't go over there. Sorely tempted. So I'm hanging about just to see if it comes out again. Why do we need to reintroduce red squirrels? Well, I think everybody knows that the American grey squirrels were brought here and it was a big mistake. They've gone wild and taken over everything. They're more adaptable, used to a much harsher climate than we have. And the red squirrels got pushed out, succumbed to disease and disappeared.
Actually, last night in Swaledale, I was going through a hazel copse, and some of the nuts are split remarkably like they've been eaten by squirrels, and I'm just hoping red squirrels have spread down there.
I didn't get another sighting, but I set off over the fells, further west and north, to a place called Sunbiggin Tarn. When I got to Sunbiggin Tarn, I was rather disappointed, actually, because it wasn't quite how I remembered it. There was a fence right around the lake, which was keeping out the grazing, which meant that there was a very hard line between the reeds and rushes and marshy bits around the lake and the pasture, and I didn't think I was going to have much luck botanising, but I stuck it out. As soon as I parked my car in a little bit of old quarry, turned out to be the old castle site actually, there's a host of early purple orchids still in flower, with some nice big bumblebees visiting them. So that was worth stopping for anyway, and let's just see how the botanising goes. I have found some little bogs outside the fence. They don't look at all promising, but here was a bird's eye primrose. This is an alpine. It's the sort of thing that you go and buy in garden centres for your alpine garden, a little primula, little pink primula with a bright yellow centre, like a little bird's eye. And it's smaller than I remembered. But the other plant that's like this, really rare in Britain, is the Primula scotica, the Scottish primrose, which grows right along the north coast of Scotland in sand dunes. Anyway, this one seems to like these lime flushes just on the edge of the lake, and there it was. It just hit it right. So I'm really pleased with that, because that is a real rarity. In fact, I don't know where else to go and look for it. Having gone all the way to Sunbiggin Tarn to find just a handful of bird's eye primrose, near the village of Little Asby, just a few miles from the tarn, I found a field on the top of a hill. It's not that marshy, and it's covered with them. There's hundreds of them here. I'm going to get out and have a look. This is fantastic. I didn't even know this existed. There's a little meadow just below this down the road, which is great for globe flower later on in the year, and one of my favourite spots. But this I've overlooked. I had no idea. It doesn't look like anything, the field, but it's because they're so small, you don't really notice them. But I was just looking for curlews, and I saw these pink flowers. Great. I found the field with the globe flowers in, and I thought they'd be too early, but actually they're out now. It's not quite where I remember where it was, and it was only because I stopped for those bird's eye primroses in the field above that I found the field at all. I looked over a wall and across in the next field, not the field I was looking into, but the one beyond that, I just saw these pale yellow orbs. So sneaked over, had a look, took some pictures, and I'm away again. It's a completely different field to the others around here. I suspect it's under some sort of nature management. It's a bit coarser, the vegetation. It's full of hillocks and hummocks, globe flowers, loads of cowslips. Now, we haven't seen loads of cowslips anywhere else up here so far, and a few early purple orchids as well. But I remember the first time we found this field, we looked over the wall and there was a curlew sitting on our eggs just the other side of the wall. That didn't happen this time. Well, I was absolutely thrilled with my day in Cumbria. The bird's eye primrose, the butterwort, a plant that I didn't recognise at first was marsh valerian, which was growing really small in the marsh. I had to go and look it up afterwards. Haven't seen it for years. It looks like a little alpine. Quite a few other plants on my way. Discovering the meadow with all that bird's eye primrose in it was just fantastic. And I call the whole thing a total success. So thanks for listening. Thanks for coming along with me to the Yorkshire Dales. You can come down the Farmer's Arms with me in a minute if you want. And next time I see you, I'm going to be looking for dragonflies back at Paxton Pitts Nature Reserve. Cheers for now.